day where we pause and remember the pouring out of your Holy Spirit. Come in power. Come in strength. Come in truth. Fill us with the fire of your glory. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, and help us to know how much you love us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. We cannot successfully wage spiritual warfare in our own strength. We can't do it on our own. We must be strong in the Lord, standing firm against the enemy. We are to be, I think I left it up there. Yep. We are to be clothed in Christ and equipped with the unlimited resources of God. Today is Pentecost Sunday, thus the reason for my Lederhosen. I'm only about 9% German, but it's what I'm actually 40%, 46% Scot, so eventually you'll see me in a kilt, but I don't have one of those. But today, as we celebrate the Holy Spirit rushing into that upper room like a mighty wind, turning those waiting disciples into bold witnesses, think about the disciples for a minute. They had walked and talked and listened and learned with Jesus for around 3 years. They saw with their own eyes the miracles he performed. They knew beyond any doubt that Jesus had risen just a few days prior. They had been prepared for this, but in obedience to Jesus who said, wait, they were in that upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They were like soldiers with a garage full of high-tech armor, but absolutely no electricity to power it up. Pentecost was the day the power was turned on. As we look at Ephesians chapter 6 today, we have to realize that the armor of God is completely useless without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can put on the helmet, latch the belt, hold the sword, but if you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, you are just a statue in plate armor. Pentecost reminds us that the battle is spiritual. Therefore, the power must be supernatural. I have about 40 minutes of notes, but we'll just work through this as quickly as we can. First thought is the foundation, and this is what I want you to hear today. We will get to the armor, but I want you to hear this first. Be strong in the Lord. We often jump to that boots and shield and sword, but if we start here at chapter 6 and we don't remind ourselves, we've missed the power. This final passage as we walk through Ephesians is actually the answer to the prayer Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. Remember that what we've been praying together, what I pray almost every morning at 3 o'clock for you, from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty power through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. Before Paul gives us the admonition in Ephesians 6, he gives us the revelation in Ephesians 3. He tells us that God has glorious, unlimited resources. This is the armory we're talking about. Notice the command in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. In the original Greek language, this is actually a passive command. It literally means allow yourself to be strengthened. Or I like to say it this way, be strong in the strength of the Lord. right? As you're entering into relationship with Jesus, you're entering into his strength. So let's talk about this strength for a minute. It is not our own effort. Our strength is in Christ. Our strength is in humility. Our strength is in submission. Our strength is in weakness. Paul prayed about this thorn in the flesh he'd begin. We don't know what it is, but he says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, three times I begged for the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So Paul says, now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ might be at work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, and persecutions and trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong, he says. Church, you cannot muster up enough willpower to defeat the schemes of evil. You cannot white-knuckle your way through spiritual oppression. Your strength comes from surrendering to his unlimited resources. Before you can stand up to the enemy, you have to kneel to the Father. So let's think about this power. This is the power of Almighty God speaking in creation everything that came into being. This is the same power that was revealed in the burning bush. This is the same power that rescued the children out of slavery in Egypt and led them through the desert, a pillar of fire. This is the same power that emanated from the touch and the word of Jesus as he healed someone. This is the same power that hovered over those believers on the day of Pentecost. This is the same power that raised you and me to new life and now resides within you and me. Be strong. Take courage. Our God reigns. Our God rules. There's nothing my God cannot do. Amen? The battle is won. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. All the power we need to stand is drawn from Christ and his mighty power. Number two, the undergarments. I just want to spend a brief amount of time on this. Clothing in Christ, being clothed in Christ. Before a Roman soldier ever put on his heavy bronze breastplate or latched on the iron belt, he had to put on a tunic. A basic undergarment. Without that undergarment, the heavy metal armor would chafe and cut and bruise his skin. In the chapters leading up to this, Paul tells us about our spiritual undergarment. In Ephesians 4, we are told to strip off our old sinful nature, right? And to put on a new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I like to think of these undergarments as a radiant robe of light. How are we to be strong in the Lord? By trusting and obeying, by surrendering and submitting daily, by imitating Jesus and continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you try to put on the armor of God over an unrepentant, unsurrendered life, the armor's not going to fit. You can't effectively wield the sword of the Spirit if you're still coddling your old sinful nature. We must strip off, cast off, walk away from, discard, reject, and repent from anything that is keeping you from complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need a little help. This is part of the role of the Holy Spirit, the one who convicts us of our sin. Sometimes this conviction comes through the Spirit speaking to us in our conscience. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks through the spoken word or the read word of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit uses a fellow believer to speak the truth in love in your life and in your circumstances. We must be willing to listen, willing to accept, willing to repent, willing to humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading. Then we must be clothed with Christ. We get to the armor. Wielding the weapons of God. Notice carefully, it's God's armor. If you haven't caught that with the story about the king and everything I've said about him opening his armory, it's God's armor. We follow a warrior God who doesn't just send us into battle. He hands us his very own equipment. He led the charge up the hill to Golgotha. He was the first one to die and be raised again. God is sharing his own personal armor with you. So stand your ground, putting on the full armor of God. Let me ask you, today in prayer, did you put on the armor? This is a daily habit that you and I could and should do every day. We stop in prayer and we run through these items, committing ourselves to God, preparing ourselves for the battle that we are facing. So let's go through them. The belt of truth. In a world full of gaslighting, deception, and cultural confusion, we anchor ourselves in the absolute truth of who God is and what he says about himself and you and me. Ephesians 4:14, going back a few weeks, reads, "Then you will no longer be immature like children. Instead, you will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ," right? That stripping off and clothing yourselves continually with that undergarment of Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that, what's the goal? The whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So put on the belt of truth. Wrong image. It's down here. Second, after you've belted yourself with truth and you speak the truth, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, guarding our hearts against condemnation. When the enemy whispers, "Look at your past," the breastplate declares, "Look at my Savior." Isaiah 59:17 tells us that the Lord himself puts on righteousness and as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation. Righteousness means an upright, righteous character and integrity, a moral reputation for dealing fairly, evidenced by an outward display of Christ's righteousness. Next, let's look at the shoes of the gospel of peace. And as a missionary, this is the easy one for me. This gives us firm footing. No matter how rocky the terrain gets, we have the peace of God guarding our steps. We are ready at any time to give an accounting of our story, our testimony. And what is it about? It's his story, right? History is his story. The good news about salvation in Jesus Christ alone. The gospel is peace. It's our peace. Peace with God first, and then peace with others. Isaiah 52:7 tells us, "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the messengers who bring good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Zion reigns." Right? We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, and we go and we tell people how much God loves us and what he's done in our lives, and we offer it as something that they can choose to receive. And very importantly, we take up the shield of faith, ready to extinguish those fiery darts of fear and doubt and insecurity. And we did this singing today. This is both faith in action, who we believe in or in whom we believe, and an object content of our faith, the fact that we believe. Just as a Roman soldier stood together in a shield wall, or a Viking, our confessed faith is a wall of protection. We believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We believe in the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our counselor, our God. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. We believe that Jesus died for the repentance of sin. We believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. We believe Jesus ascended to the right hand of the throne of God and sits there now. We believe in his bride, the bride of Jesus, the holy church. We believe Jesus will come again and receive us and take us to where he is. We believe in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is our wall. This is our shield of faith. When we put on trust in things like these, when we believe the lies of Satan, the fiery darts have no power. Faith is the victory. What's next? The helmet of salvation. This protects our minds and our thoughts and reminds us that we have security now and for all of eternity. The helmet is identified with the hope of our full salvation. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, "But let all who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation." Right? We put on his salvation to protect our minds, our thoughts, our imaginations. And then we take up the sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God, or even the read word of God. The sword of the Spirit is our only offensive weapon. The word of God. This refers to the words the Spirit has inspired so that we may use them to drive away the messages that Satan sends, just as Jesus himself used the word of God to speak against the devil's temptation. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit to be the one whom brings about the memory of all that Jesus said. We have this word of God, right? It's our weapon. It's our sword. It's what we read. We meditate upon, we memorize, we pray, we speak, we saturate ourselves and others. What does it say in Hebrews 4:12? "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires." This is our word. It's our sword. And then the last, just briefly, the real enemy changing our perspective. Going back to verse 12, it's written up there, "For we don't fight against flesh and blood." Paul gives us a vital reality check in verse 12. Church, I want you to let this sink in. People are not your enemy. That difficult boss, not your enemy. Frustrating family member, not your enemy. The political party you disagree with, not your enemy. Sometimes it feels that way. But our real war is with evil in the spiritual realm. When we forget this, we waste our time on divine ammunition fighting the wrong battles. We tear each other apart instead of standing together in that wall of faith. When you realize that the battle is spiritual, it changes how you pray. It changes how you respond. And it changes how you love. So let's wrap this up. Church, as we finish up our Pentecostal Sunday, look at how the beautiful pieces of God's puzzle all fit together. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he tells us later on to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, he tells us to strip off that old nature and be clothed in radiant Christ. And here in chapter 6, he gives us that armor. Think back 2,000 years to that upper room. When the Holy Spirit fell on those first believers, he didn't appear as a gentle, quiet mist. He appeared as tongues of fire. Fire illuminates, fire purifies, and fire activates. If you try to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation in your own human strength, you'll just be a fragile soldier wearing heavy, cold metal. You will collapse under the weight of the spiritual battle. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that armor becomes a weapon of light. The fire of the Spirit heats that metal, fuses it to your soul, and empowers you to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. You don't have to muster up this strength for your own fight. The God of angel armies is the victor. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that is living inside of you right now. Step out of fear, put on your armor, and stand your ground. So this week, I want to challenge you to stop fighting for victory and start standing from victory. This victory that Jesus has already won. The enemy wants you to believe you're isolated and ill-equipped. Pentecost proves you are neither. But a soldier can't go into battle without an intentional strategy. We cannot leave the church today and hope to stay strong. We must actively participate with the Holy Spirit. So I've got three action plans this week I really want you to do. The morning surrender. This is working on your undergarment. Before you look at your phone, look at the news, or even get out of bed, spend the first 60 seconds of your day in total surrender. Pray something like the Ephesians 3 prayer over yourself. Holy Spirit, fill me with your unlimited resources today. I strip off my old sinful nature and I clothe myself with Christ. Number two, the mental armor check, the gear. As you physically get dressed this week or brush your teeth, mentally put on the armor for the day's specific battles. If you anticipate anxiety, consciously put on the shoes of peace. If you're battling with old regrets or shame, buckle on the breastplate of his righteousness. If your mind is racing with doubts, secure on the helmet of salvation. And then the third, shift your target, the enemy. The next time someone provokes you, cuts you off in traffic, or opposes you this week, pause before you react. Take a deep breath and remind yourself, this person is not my enemy. There's a spiritual battle at play here. Then instead of fighting them, pray for them and use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to speak truth over the situation. And you can do it out loud or you can just do it in your own mind and heart. And I want to remind you from last summer, if you think we're in this battle alone, we have rod and staff, right? we have grace and mercy. Those angel armies that are around us, surrounding us, and encouraging and strengthening and fighting the battle with us. So let's stand for a closing prayer and a hymn of response. Holy Spirit, we thank you for Pentecost. Thank you that you did not leave us as orphans, and you did not leave us defenseless. Fill us afresh right now. Let your fire ignite the army, the armor you have given. We declare that this week we will not retreat. We will not live in fear, and we will not fight in our own strength. We put on your truth, your righteousness, your peace, your faith, and your salvation. We take up your word and stand firm in the mighty power of God's victory. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.